Welcome back, guys. It's good to see you guys again. It's been quite a while since we started recording. I'm glad to start up Real Talk Sports Talk again. You know, for personal reasons, I got to apologize to you guys for not being around. But, you know, right now we're getting back to it. We're going to be on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. We should be able to keep up recording. And I'm very excited to stay with you guys. Today is April 26th of 2022. We got a lot of stuff that we're going to talk about, especially with how the NBA playoffs is playing out. And the first thing I'd like to get into is about the Boston Celtics. So let's just get straight into it. Okay, guys, Boston Celtics and the Brooklyn Nets. What a series. It was a great series. As funny as it seems, it was a great series to me, despite the Nets getting swept. But I feel like that the Nets got swept for good reasons, and not only Kevin Durant. In this particular game, it was a really great game. You got Jason Tatum. He scored 29 points. He was ejected later into the game, which off of an offensive foul that didn't quite seem right to me, if I'm being completely honest. So I think that the scoring for the Boston Celtics was pretty even keel, to be honest. You had Jaylen Brown, who had 22 points, and Marcus Smart, who had 20 points, and he had a really good defensive game, too. He was able to do pretty well on everybody, just about everybody that he guarded. There's a reason why Marcus Smart won Defense Player of the Year. He was able, you know, he didn't have any steals and he didn't have any blocks or anything, but you could still feel that presence that he had on Kevin Durant or Kyrie or just about anybody he held. Shoot, even Blake Griffin when he was on him. You know, he did a fantastic job, and that is a big reason to why this Boston Celtics team was able to sweep the Brooklyn Nets. And the thing is like this Boston Celtics team is one of the best defensive teams in all of the league. And it definitely shows, especially when you have Marcus Smart, who is the Defensive Player of the Year. And I know that I'm talking about him a lot, but you see, defense is one of the most important things in all of basketball, despite on how much of an offensive game that we have today. And, you know, speaking of offense, when you got Jason Tatum, who can spread the floor, he can drive, he can just do just about anything. Shoot, he can even facilitate. He had like 5 assists or so. But I got to say that the thing that really caught my eye is how open the paint was. Jason Tatum, and especially Jaylen Brown, who had 22 points. I've seen dunk after dunk after dunk with him. And it was just phenomenal the way that he played and how all these guys played. You even had Grant Williams, who had like, 4 threes, and all of them were wide open. See, this Brooklyn Nets defense did not do as good as that they could have. And not to mention that they barely had any rebounds too. And, you know, the great Pat Riley said, no rebounds, no rings. And the fact that Goran Dragic, that he was a guard and had more rebounds than anybody else, he had 8 rebounds, is downright ridiculous. You got Kevin Durant that was supposed to facilitate the whole entire offense. He's not even point guard. He plays small forward and power forward. You know, you shouldn't have to facilitate an whole offense. But then again, he was getting double teamed. So I will give him that he kind of was forced to. And the thing that really, really, really caught my eye is how unaggressive Kyrie was. Kyrie Irving, there's a reason why he is one of the best point guards and considered one of the best point guards in history. And, you know, I can understand why he missed so many of these games due to his beliefs on the vaccine and all that sort of stuff. But that's no excuse to why that, excuse me, that's no excuse to why that you don't become as aggressive as you are as a player. You see, Kyrie Irving is one of the most aggressive players that we have out there. He can, and every time that he drove the ball, it looked great. He drove the ball with such confidence, and you know, the way that he plays is he spreads the floor. He does quite a bit of things, and you know, he had a lot of shots that looked like that they weren't going to go. It seemed like that he missed more shots than he made, but he did shoot, 6 for 13, just a little bit under 50%, but still, that's no excuse when you're Kyrie Irving that you don't become as aggressive. And the fact that Kevin Durant was able to pick off what was disgusting of a series and drop 39 points is good. Now, you know, when you look at a stat line, it looks a little, it doesn't really tell how the game was. He, in the start of the game, he looked really, really sloppy. It did not look like fundamental basketball. He was letting the ball, he was turning over the ball. He turned over the ball quite a bit in the game. He turned over the ball about four times, and he absolutely was playing at a top level, but he still looked very, very sloppy to me. But then again, it's hard to not play sloppy when you're getting double teamed the whole game and you can't get your guys to hit shots. You got Seth Curry, who did really, really, really good. But then you got people like Nick Claxton that he did really good field goal percentage-wise, but he went 1-for-11 from the free throw line. And if you go 1-for-11 from the free throw line, then that's just terrible. You cannot be on a basketball team and go for 1-for-11 on a free throw line. That is downright ridiculous. Not a single basketball player in the world should do that. I do think that the Boston Celtics, they just defensively played so much better. Nick Claxton was just the beginning of a bad free. The team together shot 59% at the free throw line, and that is completely unacceptable. Not a single that's disgusting. I mean, when you got Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Seth Curry on your team, then you definitely have to have a free throw percentage of at least over 75%. Regardless on who gets to the line. So, I mean, free throws and rebounds. Rebounds is the big exact thing, big thing in basketball. Like I said, the great Pat Riley said, no rebounds, no rings. You got Daniel Tice, who had 8 rebounds. Jaylen Brown, who had 8 rebounds. Derek White, that had 6 rebounds. And it's just really ridiculous how many rebounds and how much of a better defensive team Boston was compared to the Brooklyn Nets. You see, I think that the entire series was not in Kevin Durant's favor, and he definitely somewhat redeemed himself in game four, in Brooklyn. But again, that still doesn't excuse the fact on how he played the entire series. He had a terrible, terrible series, and being guarded by Jason Tatum, who's actually a very good defensive player, it really took a toll on him. And I don't know if it's because of the amount of double teams he had, which more than likely it was, because Kevin Durant was double teamed the entire series and he did not do well through any of it, or the fact that his teammates couldn't hit shots. You know, again, I think that the underlying thing that absolutely ruined it, besides their defensive effort, was the fact that Kyrie wasn't aggressive enough. You know, Kyrie should be taking a lot more shots than what he has. He's one of the best. He is arguably the best dribbler of all time. He's able to play make. He's able to get his guys open. He's able to get himself open. And I just believe that if the Brooklyn Nets were to have utilized him more, then we would have had a whole different game. And on a different note, utilization is down on Steve Nash. You know, Steve Nash would switch from small ball to big ball. You know what, I did not like his adjustments. He did not have any good adjustments to match up to what the Boston Celtics had. And you know, the game plan that it came in on was downright ridiculous. And I think that if Steve Nash were to have made better adjustments, then we would have had a whole different game. You know, Ime Udoka was 10 times better as a coach this recent game. Actually, screw that, this recent series. So what do I think about this series is I think that this proves that Steve Nash needs to go as a coach. And, you know, this is coming from someone that loves Steve Nash as a player. You know, Steve Nash won MVP twice. And in my personal opinion, as much as I love Kobe too, I still believe that Steve Nash earned those those MVPs. So we need to look at the Nets from a different perspective. You know, I love, you know, it's there, these big names out there, you know, doesn't necessarily make a basketball team. I mean, Frank Vogel in the Lakers, you got Russell Westbrook and LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony and Anthony Davis, and that it all just didn't work out for them either. You know, the names can only go so far, but when it comes to basketball chemistry, that's where the Celtics have an advantage. And especially defensive-wise, defense is very, very important when it comes to basketball. And the fact that they were able to turn the ball over and they were able to guard on Kevin Durant and stop him, it was amazing, really. It was very, very amazing. And, you know, main reason why. And I think that Steve Nash is going to go. I think that's reason number three. I think Kyrie not being aggressive enough was number two. And I think reason number one was the amount of double teams and the amount of bad shots and the amount of turnovers that Kevin Durant had for the series. So, you know, I just want to see how it goes next year. You know, I hope that there's no whiners about it. I hope Kevin Durant won't be a whiner. I hope Kyrie won't be a whiner. But, you know, we're going to just have to wait and see what happens next season. All right, guys, into our next segment, and that is a recap of the Utah Jazz Mavericks game. It was awesome. It was just great dominance on the Mavs side, and this is coming from a Mavs fan that had his heart broken when Jason Kidd made the stupid decision to put in Luka in the fourth quarter against the Spurs. I was pretty irritated by that, especially when I seen the calf strain and I seen Jalen Brunson pick up the slack, but it didn't exactly go the way that I wanted it to in entirety until Luka came back. But the thing is like I said with the Celtics, is that this Mavs team has a great defense, but all around a better chemistry than the Utah Jazz. And that is the reason why they won this game. When you hear about the Mavericks, you don't just hear one name the entire game. You don't just hear Luka, 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 Luka. You hear Luka, Jalen Brunson, Dwight Powell, Dorian Finney-Smith, Reggie Bullock. You'll hear Spencer Dinwiddie every once in a while. Maxi Kleba. It's hard to say David Bertans because he's not exactly the best player out there. As a matter of fact, when he's on defense, people switch over to him. So he's not my favorite player. But like I said, we all play as a team. And the fact that the reason why the Jazz lost is because that our defense and our chemistry destroyed this team. We absolutely destroyed them. I mean, we had a 30-point lead on them the majority of the game. At least a 20-point lead at them. It was awesome. It was one of the best feelings I've ever had in my life as a Mavs fan. Shoot, if I think that I won the lottery as soon as I seen Luka's third quarter where he hit like step back after step back. He was able to drive. He was able to get to the free throw line. And the facilitation that he had and my other Mavs had was great. Now, the thing that I think is the most important thing to talk about here, though, is the game that Donovan Mitchell, Bogdan, and Mike Conley had. All three of them had terrible games. Donovan Mitchell went 4 of 15. He only had 9 points. He didn't have any threes. He turned the ball over 4 times. It was a very terrible game offensively for him. Shoot, even defensively for him. I didn't see him on the floor doing much. He basically was just a body. And then you got Mike Conley, who went 1 for 6. He only had 4 points. He had about 5 assists, which is okay. And he had two turnovers. And this team was just turning the ball over and over and over again. It looked like that there was active hands by the Mavs almost the entire game. And then you got Bogdan, who shot 0 for 9. And this is coming from a guy that literally tore my Mavs apart and had me ripping the hair out of my head. We were able to keep him 0 for 9, 0 for 5 from the free throw. And these aren't just rim bangers. These are straight up bricks. Like bricks, air balls. Every single one of those shots looked disgusting to me. And that's just because that when Luka is on the court, Jason Kidd and is able to make this team into a way better defensive team. And I just think that we are dangerous. We are dangerous, and I can dare any team to come at us. Like I've said a million times, Luka is the best young player in the entire league. He is better than Jason Tatum. He is better than Donovan Mitchell. He is better than Ja Morant. He is better than Anthony Edwards. He was better than Karl Anthony Towns. And he is better at about just any player that you can name under 25 years old. So I can dare anybody to come at me with that, and I will argue you down to the point where you are about to scream with me with all of your might, because it is just true. Now, like I was saying before, after I got off track and talked to you down about Luka, and I got to say that it was a great game because of the of the stature that we put for ourselves, that we made sure that they knew that we were dominant. Like, we're not going to just sit there and take it like good little boys. The biggest thing that I think defined this game was the fact that when Hassan Whiteside committed that foul, which I didn't think it was a hard foul. I think that it was a pretty average foul. I mean, it seemed like Luka was trying to posterize him and it didn't quite work out for Luka. So I think that it was just an average foul. But from the perspective of Dorian Finney-Smith and Reggie Bullock and all those guys, I think that they heard it differently. They maybe have not seen it the exact same. So I'm going to just say that that's the reason why they went over to defend Luka. I mean, it was a really hard fall, but I think that Hassan Whiteside tried reaching over and helping him up. So I just think that, you know, it was kind of tough for the whole entire squad. But the thing is that we were able to show that we were not going to take it, like that we're not going to sit there and let you dog our star player like that. He was already hurt, and I dare you to even try to touch him or touch us. So that's another thing to why we won this game, is that we show that we're dogs. We're straight up dogs. Not a single team is going to be able to put us down. We're going to fight until there's no fight left in us. And I say that like I'm a member of the team, but I am. I have a side contract on the side. But anyways, to the point, another thing is this home court advantage that we had. Now, that is something big. You've seen that the crowd was so in sync with the entire squad that we have there. I think that we are, especially at home, we are a very dominant team. And on the road, I think that we're going to do just as good, because Oz sound a lot like booze, and booze sound a lot like Oz. So the noise does not really make much of a difference. If anything, we hear it in a good way. But enough about how great my Mavs are. Let's talk about how terrible the Jazz were. Other than Jordan Clarkson, who did a really good job, if I got to say so myself, he was the only one that really put up some worry for me. Him and Rudy Gobert, who had so many rebounds and a couple of free throws. He shot 85%, Rudy Gobert did, and he didn't have a very good free throw percentage. But he also didn't have a very good plus-minus either. He was -8 and plus-minus. But Jordan Clarkson, he was really, really good. He was really the only one that I seen do much. And like I said, this team defensively did not do as good as I would anticipate that they would do. They were not able to hold any of our guys. But offensively is what caught my mind. 77 points, most of which were scored by Jordan Clarkson and Rudy Gobert. Donovan Mitchell was nowhere to be seen that entire game. I did not hear his name called at all. And, you know, I think Rudy Gobert probably would have dominated us a little bit more if he didn't have his five fouls and had to be sit out. It was also, you know, there were some skeptical fouls, especially with them and the Brooklyn Nets game, where Jason Tatum had five fouls that he didn't, nobody really agreed with either of those. So I think that we're dogs. There is no way that you guys are going to fight us. I cannot wait to see whoever we got to face next. I'm almost positive that we can make it up to a championship. This team is a championship caliber team, and I'm not scared. I got a little bit of skepticism in my heart about it, but I'm going to listen to my heart a little bit over my head. But my head, my eyes watched this game and showed how dominant we are, and showed us that we're a team to be reckoned with. Our defense is something to be reckoned with. And I think that we just got to start getting back to it. And the real thing is that the Jazz, you know, we had a really good year against the Jazz in the regular season too. So I don't know if we're like the Jazz's kryptonite or something like that. But with that being said, this is going to be our series, just like everybody expected, because the Jazz they're not necessarily a superstar team. All right, you guys, let's get into our next segment. And this one is about Ben Simmons, who is probably the biggest talk about the Brooklyn Nets, just about in the whole entire season. we need to talk about him because he is a heartbreaker. He is up, he is down, he is sideways, he is right, he is left, he's down to the bottom, he's up to the top, because nobody knows what he's talking about and what he's going to do. We have seen so much of Ben Simmons talking, but we haven't seen enough of him playing. Everybody in the that's a part of the Brooklyn Nets team, staff, fan base, and the rest of the basketball world has gotten sick and tired of him saying, I'm going to play, I'm going to play, I'm not going to play, I'm going to play, my back hurts, my back doesn't hurt, I need to fly to the moon, and I got to fly back real quick, and then I'll be able to play. And, you know, Shaq says that he himself thinks that it's a punk move. So, you know, let's take a listen on what Shaq had to say about it.
In the hood, we call this a punk move. You know, when things are going good, yeah, I'm a playing game for it. Chuck said it. You could play on Saturday, you could play on Monday. Now that they lost, my back hurt. Well, if your back hurt, get some icy hot, I'll send it to you. We call this a punk move. Listen, if you're not ready to play, you would get more respect from the people if you just say, I'm not ready to play, and don't say nothing else. Don't be shooting and saying, I'm coming back, I'm going to do this. That was a punk move. Reggie's absolutely right. If you're not going to play, don't say you're going to play. I think you should play.
And that's Shaq. Shaq himself, one of the greatest centers of all time. I'm on the record of saying that he is the greatest center of all time, above Bill Russell and above Wilt Chamberlain, all those guys. That's besides the point, but that's Shaq. And this is coming from one of the best centers of all time, and he is absolutely right. You can't get your teammates to be that excited. You especially can't get the fan base to be that excited, because it's been a letdown for the Boston Celtics, the Brooklyn Nets, for the whole entire year. They are expected to have been so much. They were a favorite to win the entire series, not even just a series, the championship. They were projected to have one of the best records. They were projected to win their series, and they were projected to win the championship in a couple of betting sports sort of deals. So the thing that catches my mind is the chemistry. You know, I talk about chemistry a lot when it comes to basketball, but that's the thing. There's two things in all of sports that match together, and that is chemistry and momentum. And momentum went both ways. Chemistry went both ways on that. Momentum went both ways on that court that we seen yesterday night. It was a show. It was S-word show. We know that this was an issue though, chemistry wise, because Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and Bruce Brown and DeAndre Jordan and many other players that were on the Nets were definitely expecting Ben Simmons to play. But here we are, not seeing Ben Simmons play due to a back issue, which I gotta say, I'm pretty surprised considering that I haven't seen him play a single game. I didn't know that every single practice that you have affects your back, or affects your leg, or affects your brain. And while I agree with the mental health aspect that all these players are dealing with, I think that we need to, you know, put more emphasis into why these guys still need to play. You know, I care about their mental health just as much as the next guy. These guys are professional athletes, though. I can't go to my job and say, hey, boss, I'm sorry, I'm just having a mental health day. And, you know, maybe I can do that once or twice, but I can't do it for 82 games. Shoot, not even 82 games, 82 games plus a series. I can't do that. So I think that Ben Simmons is the one that really caused the season to be like this year. You got James Harden and Ben Simmons. If James Harden were to have been a better teammate, at least to the Nets, I'm not behind the locker room, so I wouldn't really much know, then it would have been a whole different year. It would have been a whole different year. If Ben Simmons was a better teammate, it would have been different for the whole year. I mean, let's check out this lineup real quick. We got Kyrie Irving, Seth Curry, Kevin Durant. Actually, Kyrie Irving, Seth Curry, Bruce Brown, Kevin Durant, and DeAndre Jordan, or however you want to put that lineup at. It was the whole entire team just wasn't going the way that it was supposed to go. But if we had Ben Simmons in there, we would have had a whole different game. Screw that. Had a whole different year. So the reason why this team was not able to do what they were supposed to do this year is three things. That's Steve Nash, because he is a terrible coach. It is the chemistry of the team due to Ben Simmons and James Harden and all the Kyrie Irving and the funkiness that was going on in there. And, of course, just the fact that they're playing good chemistry teams. Boston Celtics is one of the best teams in the league, and that's because they have good defense, they have good offense, they have good chemistry, they have good ball communication, they have good everything. And then you got teammates like Kevin Durant and Kyrie that are chewing each other out. And, you know, your teammates are supposed to lift each other up. And when there's only two guys that are kind of chewing each other out and don't really have much respect for each other, at least during the games, then you got just a team that isn't going to be able to go very far. So I think that Ben Simmons is one of the biggest reasons why this Brooklyn team didn't have as good as a year. It's just crazy to me, though, is the fact that Ben Simmons is not playing. He's just not playing. And I really don't understand why. He went away. He left the Philadelphia 76ers. He didn't exactly specify why he wanted to leave. And he didn't necessarily specify why he wouldn't play for the Nets. And everything that he's saying, it just comes as baloney, bull honky, whatever you want to call it. So these are just things that need to be picked up for the Boston Celtics, the Brooklyn Nets coming this offseason, because this is a team that has big names but does not have big proof or big numbers or anything like that. I'm not dogging any of these guys, but I'm definitely going to dog the way that they play basketball, because it is not anywhere near on how you're supposed to play. All right, you guys, into our next segment, and this is going to talk about the Los Angeles Lakers and what they are going to do regarding Russell Westbrook and his recent thing on Instagram, to where he deleted all of his Los Angeles Lakers posts. And that may or may not have a toll on what we are going to see in the future to come for both Russell Westbrook and the Los Angeles Lakers. So I think that we need to look at this from Russ's point of view. He deals with a lot of criticism. He deals with a lot of hate, and especially with the whole Russell Westbrook, which I think is the most unclever thing to even to say. It literally it's not even funny. And like he said, that it's just a basketball game, and in regards to his family, when people talk to his family, when people make fun of his last name, I can understand that. I really can understand that, because your last name is something that is to be respected, that defines you and your family. So this is coming from, he sees that, you know, like, all the other teams don't like me, whatever, their fan bases, whatever, whatever. But when you have your own fan base your own team's fan base calling you out as for your last name, and then you got a problem with it. And that's why I was like, the chemistry in this Los Angeles Lakers locker room is not at all what everybody anticipated it to be. And a lot of people are saying that this is result of Russell Westbrook joining the squad. And that may be true, because everywhere Russell Westbrook has gone, they have not been able to make it to a championship. The only one time that they were able to was with Kevin Durant. And that was when Kevin Durant was peak Kevin Durant, and he was something special, where there was almost no way of stopping them regardless. That was also when Russell Westbrook was in his prime, though, and a lot better player. So I think that the Lakers need to figure out somewhere to trade him, because it doesn't work out either way. They both are having a lot of trouble trying to keep in with each other and keep this relationship going with, and, you know, LeBron says that he doesn't want him to leave, and, you know, all of his teammates want to say that they love him, but that's what any locker room will say. I'm not going to be in my football locker room or in my basketball locker room say hate someone and be like, oh, he's the worst point guard I've ever seen my whole entire life. He turns the ball over. He has a terrible three-point shot. I'm not going to do that for my own teammate. So what they need to do is they just got to figure somewhere to get Russell Westbrook to, because he's got a big contract too. And there's a lot of teams that need superstars. And I think that I would suggest the Charlotte Hornets. I think the Charlotte Hornets would be a great place to go. He might be able to change the culture over there. They got Miles Bridges, and they got LaMelo Ball. They got some small pieces there, but there's so much that could be picked up over at the Charlotte Hornets. It's really just crazy to me about how this year turned out. I can't believe that they didn't even make the play in. You know, I think that the play-in is not necessarily hard to make, but when you got not necessarily easy to make, but when you got LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who actually was hurt the majority of the year, so I can't put much blame on the team for him. And you got Russell Westbrook, and you got Carmelo Anthony, and you got all these pieces, then it's almost unexcusable to miss the playoffs, or the play-in, actually. Like I said before, it's absolutely unacceptable to miss that. And I got to say, like, I almost do believe that it is because of Russell Westbrook. It's very possible that Russell Westbrook may have ruined the chemistry, but I'm not going to put only blame on Russell Westbrook. That's something stupid to do, because I'm going to also blame Anthony Davis on this one. The fact that Anthony Davis missed the majority of the year, he missed a lot of the year. So that's something to be noticed too. I mean, when you got Austin Reeves and you got Dwight Howard, who's completely out of his prime, and you got all these guys that are, you know, both in the small forward spot, you know, you got Talen Horton Tucker, who hasn't been really, really that much of a help. And like I said before, you got Austin Reeves, and, you know, you got all these guys that ain't really that much of a help to the team. They're, you know, okay shooters, and they're okay teammates and all that sort of stuff. They're average. But when you got three guys that are considered to be superstars with Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James, then you are expected to have so much more. I mean, shoot, it seemed like even Carmelo Anthony had a better year than Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is someone that is just – he's kind of lost it. He's kind of lost his touch. I mean, averaging a triple-double is – it's hard to look at someone's game when you're just looking at a stat line. A stat line has so much look to it. I could have 25 points and 9 assists and 8 rebounds, and it would look like that I'm one of the best players of all time. But in the same sense, I wouldn't even be able to make the playoffs, or I would be not even in the top 20 players in the league. And that's very possible. So I got to put some of the blame on Russell Westbrook. I'm actually going to put the majority of the blame on Russell Westbrook due to him kind of ruining the chemistry in the locker room. Not necessarily ruining it, but definitely not letting it play out. So I think that we need to start looking for trade options for Russell Westbrook, because it's not going to work out for him and the team. It's really, really crazy to me about how this year started out with the Nets and the Lakers, and how all these teams look like that they were going to be stardom teams, you know. And then you got teams that you didn't expect to be as far as they are. With the Memphis Grizzlies, nobody would have ever expected them to be where they're at. And the Minnesota Timberwolves, nobody would have expected that. Boston Celtics, some people would have expected. And maybe nobody really expected the Mavs to be as high as they are. Nobody really expected the Hawks to be as good as they are. I honestly thought they were going to miss the playoffs last year. The Philadelphia 76ers, with them missing Ben Simmons, nobody expected them to be in. So it's really just an all-around crazy holy hell of a freaking mess here that we have in the NBA. And surprisingly, a lot of people love it, myself included. I do love it. I mean, I'm going to miss LeBron in the playoffs, and I'd like to see what would have happened if he were to play in the playoffs. Honestly, it might have been the same thing with how it was last year, where the Suns were able to take them out. And they probably wouldn't have that great of a playoff series due to the chemistry and stuff that they have in them. I mean, the shooting percentage they have too. They have a really bad shooting percentage, especially from the three-point line. They were one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league. And, you know, they're also their defense. They were rated one of the best defensive teams prior to this year, and then they just dropped. They just dropped. I don't know if that might have been a contribution to losing Andre Drummond. I think it could have been, because I liked Andre Drummond when he was there. I think that it's a very, very difficult time for the Los Angeles Lakers. And they don't trade Russell Westbrook, that's going to be bad for the years to come, all the way up until 2023. I'm ready to just see how this Lakers team is going to be with LeBron And I think that LeBron has had to carry this team on the back. This is one of his best years that he's had since 2018. 2018 was one of the best LeBrons that I've ever seen in my life. Shoots. One of the best players I've ever seen my whole life. I think almost that he could be considered the best player that I've ever seen my whole life at that point in time. Again, I think that we need to maybe pick up the slack with the Los Angeles Lakers. We need to try to make some trades, try to make some offseason signings. I think that losing Frank Vogel was a good idea because I never liked Frank Vogel as a coach. I don't think he was a very good coach. And, you know, people say that coaching doesn't really matter. But when you look at people like Ty Lue, who has his team in a pretty good spot, they usually are in a pretty good spot. You got coaches like Popovich, and you got coaches like Phil Jackson, which is way, way in the past. And it really shows that coaching does matter in the league. So that's the main thing that we need to look at here, is that this whole entire Lakers team is based off name. And as great as this team could be, they're not as great as they should be. And that's what they got to do to be able to make their team at least a playoff team, because Westbrook is not doing well. Frank Vogel, they finally got taken care of him because he's absolutely garbage, if I'm being honest, as a coach. And they just need to add more pieces that LeBron can use to facilitate for, because the reason why they brought in Russell Westbrook is to be able to spread the floor for LeBron and all the other guys, and Russell will be able to facilitate the team. But instead, it just didn't work out the way that the team expected it to. I think that we got a better season coming up, though. I think that Jenny and all them, they will figure it out. Okay, guys, that concludes our episode of Real Talk Sports Talk. I'm very, very happy that you guys were able to join me again. Again, I want to apologize for my hiatus that I had. It's been a very, very long time. I recorded and then I deleted, and I've recorded and I've deleted. I've had some personal things come up, so I haven't been able to record as much. But the good news is that I'm able to put my full-time effort into this, and I am ready to become on the rise up and keep building. And for the supporters that I already have now, I want to thank you guys so much, because this is something that I'm very, very happy doing and something that I really do appreciate you guys listening in on. So with that being said, again, I really do appreciate all of the love and support that you guys get me. Just look up Real Talk, Sports Talk on all of your podcasting streaming devices like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and any other one. There's a lot of different podcasting platforms. But I do want to give a shout out to Anchor again, because they were able to put me back up on the rise up, and they're able to really help me up. You can download Anchor. You can go on your website, type in www.anchor.com. So again, I appreciate you guys. Take it easy.